Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hi, I'm Jessa. Welcome to Better Sex. I'm doing this because I think sex is important. We are not living our fullest life, the most fulfilling way we can, if we are not intimately, emotionally, and sexually connected with our partner. So I'm here every week bringing tips, perspectives, experts, ideas, strategies to help you improve your sex life. Enjoy the show. Today is another episode in my series of personal stories. I am loving interviewing people that have had obstacles or challenges in their life, in their relationship, in their sex life, in their, emotional space, who are willing to come in and talk about what they went through, how they realized it was a problem, you know, how it showed up, and then what they did about it, right? How did they heal or transform what was going on, and where have they ended up now? If you're interested in the personal stories, you'll see that they're all labeled in the episode as personal story first before the name that I use for the guest. So you can specifically seek those out if you like. And if you're somebody who would be willing to come on air and share your story, I would love to talk to you, love to hear from you. We can do it anonymously if you like. You don't have to use your real name, but it would be a great gift to the listening audience to hear what's happened with you and how you've come through. I'm also open for doing on-air coaching for people if you want to get some input about your situation, you know, my sort of assessment and maybe initial ideas about what might help you get better. So if you're interested in that, you can send me an email at change, C-H-A-N-G-E, at jessazimmerman.com. So today's story is with Heather, who shares her story of sexual trauma. She had several different events or traumatic experiences in her life on top of a young adulthood full of partying, you know, drinking and using and doing irresponsible and destructive things. And it's a story of her awakening at 18 years old and the long journey of healing that she has taken. And then ultimately the transformation, not only of her own sexuality and her own ability to be in relationship with somebody, but also it's the foundation of her work in the world now. She is a healer. She's working with people as they heal their story, as they transform this stuff. This is what she's dedicated her life to ever since. So I'm so pleased that Heather is here with me to share her story, and I hope you find it really meaningful. Thank you, Heather, for being with me today. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's such an honor for me to hear people's personal stories. I mean, it's one thing when I interview experts and, you know, they're talking about their expertise, but to get people really willing to share, you know, their journey and their transformation, I think is so powerful.
It is, absolutely. And I think it's an important conversation we need to be having more. So thank you for hosting this.
Yeah. So do you want to just start with some background about, you know, the challenges that you faced?
Yeah. So, I guess to kind of back up a little bit, my story began, I would say, you know, the story of having experienced sexual trauma started before the sexual trauma actually took place.
Okay.
And that is because of, you know, growing up in an environment where I never really felt like I quite fit in. I never really felt like I was enough, that I was good enough, that I was smart enough, that I was popular enough, that I was rich enough. So I just had this feeling, this like undercurrent of inadequacy. And even though it wasn't a real conscious thing, looking back now, after so many years of personal growth work, I know that it was there.
Yeah. And are you talking about growing up in an environment like your family, or are you talking about your neighborhood and community?
Neighborhood, community. Like we, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood where people around us had a lot more, it appeared to have a lot more wealth and affluence than we did. We struggled financially at different times throughout my childhood. I had to start, you know, getting a paper route when I was in elementary school if I wanted anything beyond the basics of the school. So, you know, and just who I was and my little personality as a young little girl and the things that I thought I needed to have or to be to be enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because of that and learning early on that, you know, I got the attention that I was seeking or the love that I was seeking from people outside of my family. I got a lot of attention because I was a beautiful little girl. And so people would comment on my looks and things like that.
Yeah.
And all of that kind of together drove this deep desire for me. And I know so many girls and boys can relate to this and teens, especially this desire to just be, you know, like, I just want to be popular. I want to be cool. I want to be one of the cool kids. And so because of my looks and because of that drive to be popular, I was hanging out with all of the popular kids.
Right.
And, you know, being around those kids, you know, they were up to no good. Mm. And being around kids that were out partying all the time. And I was then out partying all the time.
Yeah.
And I got myself into a situation in a relationship with an older boy who was a couple of years older in high school. And, you know, we were hanging out, we were dating, we were officially together. And when we would all hang out together, we would party, we would get drunk, we would play drinking games. You know, I would lie to my mom about where I was, you know, all of that type of stuff. And I think it's so important to share this, Jessa, because I think that a lot of kids get themselves into situations like this and they don't understand the risk or the danger of making choices like this, you know?
Yeah.
And then one drunken night, we were in bed together and all of a sudden I was losing my virginity. And this was, you know, not something that we had discussed up until that point. It was very clear in our relationship that that was a boundary I wasn't going to cross.
Wow.
That I did not want to have sex with him, that I was willing to do like pretty much all the, you know, everything else.
Right. Everything but, and
everything but intercourse. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up in a very Christian home.
Yeah.
And those Christian ideals were deeply ingrained in me, whether or not I admitted that I believed in them or felt that they fit for me, they were definitely there.
And so at the time, you thought of this as losing your virginity, it sounds like that's the language around this. Like, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, this is, I was like freshman going into sophomore year. And this was the beginning of a downward spiral for me where I just, you know, things just kept getting more and more intense for me over the years. And my partying and my using got more intense. And, you know, just this, I had a lot of car accidents. I got sick with mono. I had a relapse of mono. I had this sexual trauma that I was not willing to see for what it was.
Right, right. You're still thinking, oh, I didn't plan to have sex, but I lost my virginity.
Yeah.
Did that relationship continue too? Was this somebody you went on to continue being sexual with?
It did actually. We, back and forth, it was a very sort of make up, break up type of high school relationship. And it took a lot for me to get to a place where I finally realized what had happened and that what had happened wasn't okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I there was something in me that even at that point, I knew that I wasn't speaking about having sex the way all my friends were.
Hmm.
They were excited about it. They were making jokes about it. And I shared, had sex, but it wasn't coming from this like super excited, happy place.
Right. Right. So when did you figure out that this was not right?
I figured it out after high school. So my senior year in high school, me and this guy, we broke up and my dad had just left my mom. So my parents were getting a divorce. My home life had been, you know, a struggle for quite a while in high school as well. It was after that year and a lot more partying. I loved to dance. I grew up as a dancer and went out to clubs and danced and partied and did drugs and all of that. And I was in another car accident at the end of the summer none of the car accidents I had been using or anything like that. But I got into a car accident where I broke the windshield of my car with my forehead. I didn't have my seatbelt on. I was trying to reach for an audio cassette. Back in the day with audio cassettes. I reached down for the audio cassette. It's probably like Wayne Dyer or something. And I'm reaching back up and then I hit my head. And so I was in the hospital. And after that, I was going to a lot of different treatments. And there was just this guy that I knew from the club scene who said he would, you know, take me to some of my appointments. And one of the days when he took me to one of my appointments and ended up back at my house with me, he raped me. And that was clear to me what that was. And, you know, he was not a good, he was not in a good place. He was not coming from a good background. He was a drug dealer. He carried a gun with him. He threatened to kill me if I said anything to anyone.
Oh my gosh.
And it was after that.
And you were what, like 18 or 19?
I had just turned 18 years old. It was right after my 18th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you know, Jessa, I mean, you and I know each other and you know the path I've been on for quite some time now. And it was through all of those experiences and leading up to that experience that I ended up in a place where I was having a massive awakening, an awakening for me to see my life as it truly was, for me to take inventory of the life that I was living and who was in my life and what I was doing. And I knew that I had to radically change my life.
Wow.
And that I was going to have to go through a lot of healing, body, mind, and spirit. And that I was being called to not only go through my own healing, but then to help others to heal.
Yeah. Now, it sounds to me, tell me if I'm wrong, but the sense I'm getting is that you are clear that, of course, you didn't cause this stuff. This stuff was wrong and done to you.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're taking stock of the risks you were taking.
Yes.
That there was, again, it's not cause and effect. It's not blame the victim at all, but sort of a look at the risks and the choices that I've made, right?
Yeah.
At the same time. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, so for me, I feel really passionate about speaking with preteens and just, you know, teenage girls and just really telling it like it is and letting them know being popular is not all it's cut out to be, and hanging out with crowds that are up to no good and, you know, taking drugs and drinking too much and, you know, being in that environment, you know, the boundaries get really blurry and, you know, you're hanging out with people who are really broken and they're numbing and they're avoiding dealing with whatever pain it is that they're not willing to face, which is usually why you are drinking or using.
Right.
And you know, hanging out with a bad crowd.
And you're numbing your own ability if you're drinking or using to read people, right? Yeah. To have your radar really functioning and to keep you alert, you know, and sort of safeguarded. It's like that gets compromised.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, because of what I went through and from that moment where really it was a couple weeks after that experience that I went through just this massive awakening where I saw things as they truly were. And I feel very fortunate to have had that happen. And because of that, I have been able to transform the story. Do you know what I mean? And
okay.
I that's something that is so powerful. And that's the work that I do with people today, is helping them to transform whatever the pain was of their past into something good.
Okay.
We don't always get to choose what happens in our life.
Right.
But we do get to choose what we make of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyone who has gone through any sort of trauma, which we all have, I believe we've all gone through different layers or variations or, you know, intensities of trauma. And for me, and part of my story being a story of sexual trauma and the environment that I was in, I, you know, at that point, if I would have just remained the victim to those experiences.
Yeah.
I would have continued down a very self-destructive path.
Right. Right.
Numbing my pain.
Yeah. Right. And I've heard so many stories from clients, of course. I mean, it seems unusual to me that so quickly and so young, you would have that perspective and awakening. Because yeah. I think people can go decades, if ever, before they're able to really look at this and transform it into something else.
Yes. And, you know, and I think that's what's, I don't know. I don't know why or how that happened for me, but it happened for me, I believe, because I was on a higher purpose from a soul level, being called to go through that pain and transform it so that I could help others to transform their own pain.
Right. Which I know is what you've been doing with your whole life since then. So,
Yes. And, you know, it wasn't always an easy path. And after that, I went to counseling. I ended up pretty quickly after that at a free counseling clinic, close to where I was living, and they specialized in for rape victims, sexual assault. And I started seeing this woman, and I remember so specifically this one appointment that I had with her, where I'm telling her the story and I'm sharing with her who he was and talking about him, and she stops me and asks what his father's name was. And I was like, why is she asking what his father's name was?
Yeah.
And, you know, I told her, and she told me his nickname and asked me if that was his nickname. And I said, yes.
Oh, wow.
And I stopped and I had this pit in my stomach.
My hair is all standing up as you're telling me this.
And she looks at me and she says, Heather, I've seen 3 of his victims here in the past year.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, having someone threaten your life and say that if you say anything to anyone, I will kill you is obviously something that a teenager takes seriously. And and yet when I heard that from her, I knew that I couldn't not say something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I tried. I tried to report it. She connected with me with the police department down in downtown Seattle. And I remember driving down there by myself and finding a parking spot and going into that tall building and going up the elevator by myself and sitting across the table from these 2 male detectives and telling them my story.
Yeah.
And their response to me was that getting a restraining order is a really difficult thing to do. It's really difficult to execute something like that. Oh, your case probably won't hold up in court. It's a lot to go through that whole process. And, you know, are you sure you really want to press charges? You know, you knew him, he was in your house, like basically kind of like, yeah, it'll sound like you were asking for it. Like you wanted it.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So they discouraged me from doing anything about it.
Okay.
I hope and pray that with the Time's Up movement and the Me Too movement, that's shifting.
Yeah, I hope so too.
And I mean, that was 22 years ago. So it was a while ago, but at the same time, you know, I think we've still got a long ways to go.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. They said what, hundreds or thousands of rape kits had never even been tested. I mean, it's not been the priority with law enforcement, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, there were some important phases for me of healing that took place after that, where for whatever reason, again, you know, I had the ability to be able to understand why people do what they do. I knew that only hurt people hurt people. I knew how much pain he must be in and all of the suffering and all of the abuse that he went through to get to a place where he thought it was okay to do something like that to me. Mm-hmm. So I went pretty quickly to a place of forgiveness in my heart.
Okay.
And I went to a place where I was, you know, I was praying for him. I was praying for him that he find healing. And at the time, you know, that felt like the right thing to do. And I thought that I was doing everything I could to heal.
Yeah.
And I was at the time, because of my car accidents and everything, I was also seeing massage therapists and chiropractors and osteopaths. And then when I started like getting clean and sober, I was like seeing Chinese medicine doctors and detoxing my body. And
you got a whole team on this.
I was just doing it all. And, you know, knowing that I'm here to heal myself and then others. And so one of the ways in which I thought I was going to do that was to become a massage therapist and teach yoga. And then I would put myself through medical school and help people in that way. And I was in Hawaii for a 3 or 4 day vacation for an event for the Ironman, where I was going with my aunt and cousin who were massage therapists to massage the Ironman. And I ended up not getting back on the plane. I just said, I can't go back to Seattle.
Wow.
I can't. I have to stay. I have to heal. I can't go back.
Wow.
And that was a really pivotal point for me. And actually, there was something else that happened before that, where I experienced another violation that really just fueled me to just like, I was just like done. I'm like, wow. I'm just done. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And that was with a very well-known yoga guru. And I was, after that period of you know, seeking healing and doing everything like that, I found myself in yoga and detoxing and cleansing and healing and doing anything I could get my hands on. I was listening to Wayne Dyer on repeat. I was reading all the books. I was, you know, doing everything I could. And so yoga was something that really helped me physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And I was really good at it. My yoga teacher wanted Bikram to meet me. So Bikram actually flew up from California one weekend to teach a yoga class and to meet me. And I was then at this point, like 18 and a half. This was in the year after that first incident. And this was, my yoga teacher was the one of the first men that I trusted again.
Right.
And felt like I was safe with him. And he had me come over to, you know, meet with Bikram and to talk with him. And there was a couple other people there, but then everybody else left and they then went to bed and they left me there with Bikram. And he wanted me to give him a massage so that he could see, you know, if I had the talent or the gift of massage or if I should just teach yoga or whatever. And, you know, at this point, I'm still trusting that I'm safe and trusting that I'm in the right place. I'm not really thinking too much of it. And so, you know, he lays on the ground and I start massaging him. And when I'm done massaging him, he turns over and it's like he's going to give me a hug to say thank you. And he pulls me down and he pins me down on him that I can't move and starts putting his tongue down my throat and kissing me. And I'm trying to pull away and he's not letting me pull away. And because of my other traumas, I went into an immediate stress response where I was just thinking to myself, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this safely? How do I not get even more hurt?
Yeah.
He got up and he was like, okay, now it's your turn. Go get naked and get into my bed. And I was just like, oh my God, like I, you know, I really want to, all of my senses of like, how do I speak to him? How do I get out of this? You know, kicked in. And I'm like, I'm really tired and I really need to get to sleep. Yogis don't need sleep. Well, I'm not the type of yogi you are yet. You know, Bikram, I'm just, oh my God, you're just so amazing. And I just really want to have like the best class with you tomorrow. And you know, if you don't get into bed, I'm not going to teach tomorrow.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, you know, there's so many people that are really looking forward to you being there and they would be so disappointed if you didn't teach tomorrow. Are you sure you don't want to? I mean, I'm just going to go to bed and I'm going to make sure that I'm up in enough time to be at class and to be there tomorrow morning. And so finally he realizes he's not getting anywhere with me.
Yeah.
And he goes into his room and I lay down on the couch and I didn't sleep at all.
Oh, no.
And my yoga teacher had this dog that was part wolf and that dog sat upright guarding me the entire night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think your yoga teacher knew this?
You know, I spoke to his girlfriend a couple of days later and let her know what happened. And she broke down, bawling her eyes out, crying, and said, like, she felt very guilty that she left me out there. And she said to me, I thought Greg warned you. And I was like, what do you mean warned me?
Wow.
What? And she said, we've been hearing that he's been having trouble with this.
Wow.
With young girls.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of them.
Yeah.
And Jessa, this was 22 years ago.
Right.
And this man has been out there violating women ever since.
Well, until very recently, right? Or maybe he still is, but I've heard his name in this whole
meeting. He's escaped the country.
Wow.
He's not in the country legally. He can't come back to the country, but he still has millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
He's living the high life, and he's gotten away scot-free, not having to... And I got away really fortunate.
Yes.
I'm very fortunate that it wasn't a lot worse. And I know, you know, people personally who've had experiences with him.
Right.
It went on for a lot longer and it was a lot worse. It was much worse.
Hey, I've just taken a quick break in the show, and I want to draw your attention to my new book. It's called Sex Without Stress, A Couple's Guide to Overcoming Disappointment, Avoidance, and Pressure. This is a total how-to book. Describes the problems that get people stuck avoiding sex because it's become difficult and stressful and fraught even. But it also guides you through a process you take with your partner to have the conversations that you need to have, and then an actual exercise, a whole process around touch and experience that helps you transform your sex life. So if you are stuck in your relationship in a place where you're avoiding sex, or if you know anyone like that, please seek out the book. You can find it on Amazon, both in paperback and on Kindle, and I hope you enjoy it. So what did this experience do on your journey? Like what fork in the road, or turn in the road happened because of this?
It gave me an awareness of the guru complex.
Okay.
of the spiritual man that takes advantage of his position of power. It was an eye-opening experience. It was an early insight to have.
It also resonates. It's sort of like being popular again, right? If I can get the attention and approval of the popular ones, whether it's good or not, there's sort of a symmetry there.
God, that wasn't something that was driving me at that point.
Okay.
Right. Because otherwise I could have very well fallen into that trap. And as he offered to have me come down and take the training for free and live there and all the rest to be in his, you know, harem. Yeah. So to speak, like I, you know, that could have been something. If that was still like the driving force for me, then
yeah,
I probably would have ended up down there.
Wow,
and a part of that, and had a much much worse experience.
Yeah.
So thankfully, that isn't what happened, and I got out of it safely that night. And so, you know, I can tell you when by the time I got to Hawaii and started doing that massage, and I just felt the energy of the islands. Intuitively, I knew, don't get back on that plane.
Yeah.
It's time to heal. And so I went deeper into my healing at that time and went through body work and did massage and relived trauma through the body work as well. I, you know, having deep fascial work done can release a lot of deep emotion in the body. So I'm very big believer of the mind-body connection and somatic release work and cathartic release work when releasing energy, releasing trauma, releasing just experiences, the stuck emotions, right?
Yeah.
The energy behind those events that happened that stay stuck in the body if you don't get it out of the body.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, going through that process with massage, and I was seeing shamanic practitioners, and I was, you know, doing a lot of different healing work.
How did you know to seek out all that various healing work? Like, you came from, you know, partying, drugs, and alcohol, you know, to all of a sudden having a whole team of healers and such a wide variety of approaches. I mean, had you always had that openness and awareness, or was it sort of like this is what showed up in your path and you knew to proceed?
Going back to the feeling of having an awakening,
and
just, you know, if some of the listeners might know what this feels like, but, you know, for me, it really was like just this massive awakening of where I I was able to see things clearly. Mm. I was able to hear my inner voice. And that's something that I help people with, is really helping them to hear their inner voice, to trust their inner voice, to align with their truth, and to learn how to take leaps of faith when you hear those messages. You know, yeah. So often we hear the red flags in relationships that might not be good for us or healthy for us, and we don't listen.
Right. And we dismiss them. Yeah.
We dismiss it. And, you know, so for whatever reason, I believe that, you know, I was given that gift,
yeah,
of awakening, and I showed up for it. That's the other thing.
Right. Right.
Right. And so I knew that I had a lot of healing to do, and I was just hungry for it. I was a seeker. So I was going to just take whatever I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
After that, I noticed that I still like was working out a lot of stuff. Like, I didn't want to be traumatized or wounded or broken sexually. I wanted to enjoy sex. I wanted to have pleasure sexually, and found it really interesting that the guy I ended up with after that, who was from Germany, and that's one of the main reasons why I ended up going to Germany.
Okay.
When I was 21 years old, I left the US with a one-way ticket and knew I was supposed to leave, knew I was supposed to get out of the United States so I could understand humanity. Mm-hmm. I could have experiences of other cultures and you know, why they get sick and how they heal, and just, you know, have that bigger perspective. But the guy who got me there, you know, again, after the fact, I was still really young. I was like 20, 21. I recognized how many similarities he had to the man who had raped me.
Oh.
His stature, his look, his energy. And this guy was a total sex addict.
Wow.
And he would watch porns all the time. And he would have me then come into the room after he watched the porns to have sex with me. And I just, you know, I feel like I was still working through that trauma, and I was trying to figure out how to be okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I working with so many people in healing their own trauma, you know, I see that it kind of like two things ends up happening, and you can probably affirm this as well. It's like someone either goes and they become very sexual, or they shut down completely sexually.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely those two directions. It may not be at the extreme. And
right.
Sometimes they're trying to reenact and master the trauma, mm-hmm. like do it differently
yeah.
through a bunch of sex, but sometimes they just end up re-traumatized. Right. Or yes, yeah. people can become really avoidant and just sort of shut yeah. down, and I can't entertain that part of myself.
Right. Right. And so going through that experience, and we didn't stay, I mean, I was not with him for very long. I've made those connections pretty quickly when I got to Germany.
Okay,
I'm like,
okay,
no. I'm like, what am I doing? No. So, but I knew I was supposed to be there, and I knew I was supposed to stay. So I stayed. I stayed for almost 10 years. So
wow.
all throughout my 20s into my 30s, I was living in Germany and then in Southeast Asia and India until I finally came back home.
Hmm.
And so my healing journey is kind of like the story of an eat, pray, love. It's like an extended eat, pray, love journey, you know? And over the years I've been in lots of different relationships, and I've worked through a lot of that trauma. And I remember early on in my relationships, I would have to share what had happened with me to my partner, so that, you know, like if they put me in certain positions that would re-traumatize me,
right.
they would know not to put me in those positions, not to be in that way. And that if there was anything that came up that was triggering for me, I needed to let them know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, luckily I was with very loving men after that, and I was continuing down my own path of healing. And about 10 years into the process of healing, I found this school of inner work in Germany, and I knew I was supposed to be there. I knew I was supposed to sign up. And so when I got there and started doing inner work, I thought I had done a lot of healing already. You know,
yeah,
I was very consciously on a path of healing for 10 years.
Right, right.
By the time I got into these rooms.
Turns out those were the prereqs or something.
That was the foundation. That was the foundation to do the real work and to really go deeper. And. Yeah. And release the trauma in a much different and more profound and powerful way, and work through things and discover you know, my own patterns and stories and beliefs and how to transform them. And so that was just like, wow, that just rocked my world. Mm. And it really shifted things for me. And wow. It helped all of the things that I had been learning to kind of settle and mature.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So has there been another shift in how you are sexually in relationship since then, in terms of besides just managing triggers and communicating with a partner?
Yeah. Well, thankfully, you know, having gone through the different types of healing that I did and really taking that time to be loving to myself and to explore sexuality and sensuality again and intimacy, you know, just having trust and having that sacred space and creating that in a relationship and now being married to an incredibly wonderful, loving, compassionate man who is very kind and very gentle, and we're very compatible sexually. And so I get to be in a new exploration, even with him.
Yeah.
And continue to deepen and continue to explore. And the triggers just aren't there anymore.
Yay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, for anyone listening that can resonate with what I'm saying, just please know it gets better. It just gets better over time. And yeah. The triggers just keep softening until they just go away.
Would you say, I mean, is it going to get better because of time, no matter what? I mean, obviously it's going to heal if you're focused on healing, right? And you're going through some of this work or you're adding that process to it, but time itself, do you think that also is enough, or if there's enough time? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that, you know, there people say time heals. And I do believe that to a certain extent. However, my understanding of trauma and the way that the body holds on to trauma. So, you know, all of the experiences that we have and go through in our lives, there are impressions of those experiences in our body. And so on a cellular level in the body, we are still holding on to a lot of the pain and discomfort that we experienced in our life that we didn't in the moment allow ourselves to fully feel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I said, you know, I'd gone through traditional therapy and I had done body work and I'd taken all these different approaches and I was learning a lot about just the path of personal growth and development and spirituality and the energy bodies and mind-body connection. And I'd done so much of that groundwork. But until I had gone through the deeper inner work process and really, you know, released the trauma. And for me, you know, that looked like going through experiences where I was even reenacting the traumatic experience and fighting back and getting it out of my body in that way. And, you know, it's everyone's path to healing looks different. It doesn't have to look like what I'm describing.
Right. Right.
But what I have seen is that the energy has to move out.
Yeah. Somehow.
And time doesn't do that.
Right. Right.
Intention and therapy does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's just what I've seen.
Right.
Working with so many people over the years and going through my own process of healing is that, you know, people can a lot of times jump to having an understanding of why someone does what they do or, you know, forgiveness or bringing God in or doing all of those things, but they bypass some of those important stages of healing, like acceptance of what is and allowing the energy to move, allowing to arise.
Right. Right. It's like, you're not going to do this all in your head, right? This is not, it's not a fully cognitive process. Like you have your body and your energy involved.
Yep. Yep. So you've got to connect the two. It's body, mind, and spirit. We've got to get, you know, the energy body, we've got the emotions, you know, the physical body, everything has to be involved in the process of healing because we're not just a mental body.
Right. Right. Well, this would be a good segue, I think, into you. I want you to be able to talk a little bit about the work you do. It's such a gift. You know, how can people find you? What are the ways they could work with you or learn more if they're, you know, intrigued at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just feel so deeply honored to be able to do this work and hold space for people because, I mean, it is such an incredible gift to be able to set people free and have them be empowered in their life and in their relationships again and really heal and transform the past. So, and I know you do such incredible work as well. And I just love what you do too. So thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And if someone is curious about, you know, going deeper, and if you've got trauma, if you've got things in your past, you know, you haven't really ever properly dealt with, it can be daunting. You know, a lot of people avoid it because it just, there's so much fear in facing the past, you know, yeah. A lot of times that we avoid showing up to do the real work is what I call this work, is the real work.
Right.
And I just want to say that there is so much light and love and laughter and happiness and joy and connection waiting for you on the other side of starting a path of healing, of really full body, mind, and spirit healing. So I hope that, you know, whether or not they work with me or whether or not they work with you or whoever they resonate with, you know, just that there is a way for them to experience freedom and deep connection and passion again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to heal their trauma.
Right.
There's a way for them to do that. And if what I'm saying resonates with anyone and they want to find out more about me, they can go to my website at heatherfantin.com. And the last name is spelled F-A-N-T-I-N.
Sorry.
Heatherfantine.com. You can feel free to put it in the show notes or whatever. And if somebody just wants to jump on the phone and connect and talk with me, I do have a free 30-minute call that they can jump on the phone with me and just get some support and tools or just be heard.
Yeah. And I know you work one-on-one with people, and I know you do retreats or workshops, right? Group work sometimes.
Yeah. I've been doing that the last couple of years, and the really intensely with group work and doing retreats where I take groups of women away and we go deep into healing. And this last Saturday was my last workshop for right now. So I've canceled my group program. I've canceled my workshops. I've canceled my retreats. And the reason why is because it's time for me to finally write my book.
Yeah.
It's time for me to finally write my book. And so I am only doing work one-on-one with a select number of clients right now. And I'm taking that extra time to write the book so that more people have access to these tools and they can transform their story and they can get started on the process on their own.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story. It's such an important message, and you're such a, you know, beautiful healing spirit in the world. So pleased to share you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.